Hi, I'm Rory McCann, conference producer and marketing manager at Life Science Nation. I'm joined today by Creative Biopeptides Chief Business Officer, Michael Simon. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So, Michael, would you mind giving us a little bit of an intro into Creative Biopeptides and your role there?
Sure, Rory. It's a very fascinating story. So Creative Biopeptides was formed in 2017 by Dr. Michael Ruff. Now, Dr. Michael Ruff has an unbelievable history. He's worked at the NIH, Johns Hopkins University graduate in immunology and virology, and also was a teacher at Georgetown Medical School, and always had a passion to go after unmet medical needs and you know, major problems in the medical community. The first problem he really encountered that he really dove into was the AIDS crisis. While he was working at NIH, tremendous research development with a team that discovered a mechanism of action to fight neurological AIDS. Actually had a drug that was used for a period of over 10 years named Dapta that showed efficacy in human clinical trials. Fast forward to 2017, he's taken that platform, redesigned it into an oral peptide that's very safe and potent, but used for different therapeutic areas. Now, Dr. Ruff was introduced to me. This is last year, and I'm a perennial founder of startup technology companies. I've been part of five pre-IPO companies, had been very fortunate in my career to have lots of success, but I was missing something. I was really missing the desire to be part of something that's far more meaningful than getting a return on investment for investors, something that could truly make a difference in society. And when I met Michael Ruff, I instantly realized this was the connection, this was the company for me, because we think we can solve some extremely important problems in the medical community.
Where do you see this peptide really having the most impact right now?
A great question. We're actually, this is a confusing answer. We're trying to figure that out right now, meaning that it has such broad applicability. What we're doing right now is in the process of prioritizing that and to determine really where we're going to market first.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about how has fundraising been for you?
Sure, Rory. So, prior to me coming on board, Michael has done, you know, friends and family round. That was fairly easy for him because of his reputation. Also, there's tremendous backing of non-dilutive funds coming directly from NIH. They're very positive about, you know, the drug platform. And right now we're putting together a plan to raise either venture or other types of family offices funds to take us through clinical trials.
Now, it seems like with your experience and Michael's experience, it's just a match made in heaven. Can you share a little bit about what the process has been like building a team and what are the benefits you've experienced with a really strong team behind this exciting technology?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first, you know, from my experience, teams and companies are about people. They're about the interactions with people. They're about, you know, personalities really gelling. And I'm very, very fortunate to work with Dr. Ruff because as smart as he is, as talented as he is in his career, he's a great listener, wants to be part of a team concept. So it's been extremely easy to build business acumen around this great scientific project with Dr. Ruff.
That's so important. We hear this all the time from investors, how essential it is to have a great team to be working with. What have you guys been using to get in touch with investors to really target good fits for your product, for your stage of development? How has the networking been going? How has partnering been going?
Yeah, so to date, we've actually had a number of conversations, whether it's venture, family offices. and also pharma themselves. And it, I would say it's been more of investigative work at this point than actually requesting funds. We're getting a lot of progress, a lot of momentum, and we believe this will continue.
Dr. Ruff had some good experience with Resi. I'm curious, what, from his perspective, was the benefit that he got from the events, and what are you able to use as you continue growing and fundraising?
The community involved in the Resi shows and the one-on-one partnering is a level higher than we've seen in other partnering events. We're targeting with people that have definitive interest because they're there for a specific reason. The conferences themselves are very valuable. The level of individuals involved is quite high.
Have you guys learned anything in the last year that will really help you as you continue to grow and progress and continue these conversations?
Yes, I think we have. There is a shifting of what's going on in the pharma industry, which is changing what's happening in preclinical companies like ourselves. So you see, for example, and I'll give you an example of in the opioid sector, you see many companies sort of divesting their interest in their drugs and moving a different direction. You see licensing deals occurring much earlier in the life cycle of companies. So instead of having to wait for phase two clinical trials to be completed, you see licensing deals even in a preclinical or during phase one human trials for safety, they're consummated. So this is changing the landscape of how you deal with investors, how you approach pharma, all of the above.
How has that impacted your strategy?
It's a very good question, Roy, but I think there's a deeper answer than just how it affects our strategy. It's how it affects our process. So from a process standpoint, I'm a big believer in customer discovery. Not assuming that we understand a market. Not assuming that we understand even the impact of our science, but validating it. So that means that if we think we have the world's best product for dementia, then I want to know about every single other product under development in trials for dementia, the mechanisms of action they're pursuing, and what the desire is of pharma to get engaged with that mechanism of action. So the only way to figure that all out is to talk to people that are directly in line with those decisions. And that's what we're doing.
Can you share a little bit about where you see Creative Biopeptides a year from now, 5 years from now? What's the plan? Where are you guys going?
We want to solve really important problems. And that is first and foremost on our mission. So I see us a year from now in our first clinical trials for safety, about a year from now. And we have a plan to get there. 5 years from now, I see us as a drug development company, licensing our peptides for 2 to 3 therapeutic areas. They're certainly not going to be finished, all of them finished with being approved drugs, but I see us having consummated licensing arrangements with pharma companies for 2 or 3 of them. And then I see us really getting involved in major R&D to apply some of our technology in a little bit different directions, because there's lots of different opportunities.
We're really happy to hear that, and really happy that Resi could have been in some way a part of that. What advice would you have for another early stage company who maybe a couple steps behind you, or maybe wants to be where you're at right now?
Don't keep your decisions in a vacuum. Don't assume that your team knows all information and can derive the direction and path without consulting others. Build a community of interest which is much bigger than your company. Collect information from others that are very knowledgeable in the community, and build your level of intellect around what you're doing so you could be trusted by those that you talk to.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us and sharing the Creative Biopeptide story and sharing your own perspectives along the way.